Early last week, a flock of chickens at a Northwest Georgia farm tested positive for bird flu. That is the first contamination of commercial poultry in our state. Joining us from his office in Gainesville is Mike Giles. He's the president of the Georgia Poultry Federation. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Celeste. Glad to be on your show. Thank you.
And also with us from the studios of WUGA is Bruce Webster, a professor and extension coordinator in the Department of Poultry Science at the University of Georgia. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning.
Mike, can we first get an idea of just how big the poultry business is in Georgia?
Sure. Georgia is the largest poultry producing state in the nation, number one in broiler production, and it's the largest segment of agriculture in Georgia. Agriculture is a leading segment of business in the state of Georgia, and it has about a $30 billion economic impact on the state of Georgia, and the jobs of a little over 100,000 Georgians depend on the industry, either directly or indirectly.
And so if chickens are found to have a strain of bird flu, they're destroyed, correct?
That's right. That's right. The approach in the United States is to not allow a foreign animal disease to circulate. And so the approach is to always do surveillance, and when it's found, to stamp it out.
Bruce, okay, what exactly is bird flu, also called avian flu, correct? What is this, and how does it differ from regular flu?
Avian influenza is a disease. It's a flu similar to other flus that other species might get, but it is specific to avian species. Of course, the species of concern with us are our poultry species. The flus do not really cross-infect very easily. So when we say avian flu, it's something that may easily infect birds, but only and with much difficulty infect other species such as humans. And in that case, even only very rarely, even though we hear about it happening in other parts of the world occasionally, even then, it's a very rare occurrence.
Yeah, how does the flu get from a bird to a human being? How is it transferred?
Well, usually, what we know is that there has to be very, very close and even almost intimate contact between the person and the sick or infected birds.
What does intimate contact mean?
Well, intimate, sorry, I didn't choose quite the right word, but basically very, very close contact where people are living very close to the birds themselves. They have lots of opportunity to take in, ingest, inhale whatever the virus directly from the bird.
Mike, so how concerned are poultry producers? It doesn't, as Bruce was explaining, avian flu may not transfer all that well or transmit all that easily between birds and humans, but it transfers relatively easily between one bird and another.
Well, the level of concern is very, very high, really, over the last few years since the 2015 outbreak in the Midwest. The level of concern and throughout the poultry industry has been very high. We've been doing a lot of planning on two fronts, really, prevention first, and also how to respond quickly if avian influenza is detected in your state. Our partners in this are Georgia Department of Agriculture and USDA. So, yes, the level of concern is high, and over the last month with the detections in Alabama, Tennessee, and also Kentucky, we are certainly on high alert.
How does the flu transfer from long distances? How did it get from Asia, for example, to the United States, and how does it get from one state to another?
Well, first, just to clarify, this strain, this H7N9 strain, is of North American lineage. So although it is similar in the H and the N number, H7 and N9, it is genetically different than what's circulating in Asia. The virus circulates in wild birds. Different forms of influenza circulates in wild birds, think wild waterfowl, really commonly all the time. So at some point, there's a connection between the wild bird population and the commercial poultry, and whether that is through walking into the house with the influenza virus on your feet or equipment, There's investigations looking at what the actual cause of it is in each case, but that hasn't been determined. But at some point, there's a linkage between the wild bird, the virus circulating in wild birds, and the infection in a commercial poultry farm or a backyard poultry flock.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking about we're talking about the very first recent instance of bird flu in Georgia. A flock of chickens tested positive at a farm in northwest Georgia. And with me is the president of the Georgia Poultry Federation, Mike Giles, and UGA professor of poultry science, Bruce Webster. Bruce, how do you treat a bird flu? And I assume it's different in birds as opposed to human beings. If a bird ends up having it, it sounds like they're destroyed. But is there a way to treat a population of birds to protect them from the flu?
Do you, if you mean a population of, say, a commercial flock, there really is no treatment. If they're infected, the virus is highly contagious. And the only way to, of course, infected birds basically become virus factories, and the only way to contain the virus is to eradicate that flock to prevent it from producing more virus and for that virus then being spread. There really is no attempt to treat the birds. And this is true even in low-pass strains, which AI case that did occur in Georgia was a low-pass strain. The birds themselves did not show any signs of sickness. They were found by routine testing, which is done on all commercial flocks before they go to market.
Is a low-pass strain less dangerous, less fatal?
A low-pass strain is not fatal, typically. The birds may not even show signs of illness. You may not even know they're sick. You have to actually do blood testing to find out. And in that case, that can be a dangerous situation because those birds are still shedding virus. That virus can get into the environment and then spread to other flocks. The danger of a low-path virus, particularly this H7N9 that we're dealing with, is that it can convert or mutate to a high-path strain and suddenly become very very deadly to poultry. That appears to have happened in a couple of cases in Kentucky.
So, Mike, then what do poultry farmers do at this point? If bird flu has shown up in Georgia, is there a way to prevent it from coming to their farm?
Yes, the first line of defense is basic biosecurity, and what that means is implementing a biosecurity plan which allows the poultry grower to enter the poultry house safely. That means disinfecting your feet and hands or any equipment that enters the house, and making sure that there's a clear line of separation from the outside of the house and the inside of the house. It means not sharing equipment with neighbors. If you do bring equipment into your poultry house, that it's disinfected properly. Not allowing visitors to come onto the farm that may have had contact with wild birds or other poultry. And really, some of these steps, these basic biosecurity steps, are the same kinds of things that backyard poultry owners can employ at their homes if they have chickens at their residence.
How often, Mike, are chickens tested? Commercial chickens.
Commercial poultry are tested during each flock right prior to leaving the farm for to the market to the processing plant.
And they're tested whether bird flu has shown up or not.
Yes, this surveillance is going on year-round, regardless of what's going on in neighboring states or in the nation. So these are surveillance programs that are being done every day, year-round, regardless of the prevalence of avian influenza in the United States. The testing is done in Georgia. It's done at the Georgia Poultry Laboratory Network in Gainesville.
Bruce, it sounds, though, that you can be pretty reassuring to people who see that bird flu was found in Georgia and might panic. This is not the time to get afraid, right?
That's correct. Georgia has a very, very well-developed avian influenza response plan. They have an avian influenza working group that involves multiple agencies and respond immediately. In our case, there was only the one case, but they are prepared to respond immediately if avian influenza is ever found, and to create surveillance zones around the site where it's found and to test flocks just to see if there's any spread of the virus. And in so doing, create a great deal of reassurance that the the outbreak is contained.
That is Bruce Webster. He is a UGA professor of poultry science and extension coordinator at the department there at the University of Georgia. And also, Mike Giles is the president of the Georgia Poultry Federation. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.